to a bonus episode for season 8. This is episode 170, where we fubar our way through the 1998 award-winning film Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and this interview episode will be with Glenn Rage, who is one of the actors who has a small speaking part in the movie, but he has lots to tell us. So stick around and listen to what he has to say. All right, so I am here with Glenn Rage, who had a part in Saving Private Ryan and also has some sort of connection to Band of Brothers, but we'll get there a little bit later on. So, Glenn, why don't you first tell me, do you remember the casting process of how you got the part of Doyle in Saving Private Ryan? See, I even know who Doyle is because Tom Hanks says, "Hey, Doyle, send the fire over there." Right?
Yes. So there's actually a little story about
that. I can't wait to hear that. So first of all, thank you very much for joining me. I do appreciate that.
Oh, pleasure, man. Thanks for asking. It's interesting because I was just home in the States visiting my brother, and he just bought himself a 75-inch, OLED high 4K def TV, whatever. And he's an editor. He's in sports, and he's got an ass-kicking sound system. He's got an incredible sound system. Anyway, so he said, "You got to see the beginning." We watched the first 45 minutes of Saving Private Ryan. And that's only like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
And it sounded and looked amazing. So kind of, yeah, it's just interesting. And then I found out how to go through my messages on Messenger that I never knew were there because I'm a techno-phobe. And I said, oh, wow, this is interesting. So, yeah, I touched base with you.
And I appreciate that.
That's okay. Do you know the Doyle thing, though? I'll just touch on that briefly. The character's name was actually Boyle.
Really?
Okay. And I met Tom Hanks in the makeup room my first couple of days there. First day was it was a bit like joining the military again. I was in the military when I was much younger. And it was like line up, get your hair cut, get issued your uniform. It was very well run. I think a guy named Captain Dale Dye had a lot to do with the way it was organized when we arrived. Yeah. And we arrived in Ireland. That's where we shot the opening sequence. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so I'm reading the script and I'm this guy named Boyle. And I had a couple of lines that were cut. And so I'm sitting in the makeup trailer and Tom Hanks goes, "Hey, I'm Tom." He just shake my hand. I said, "Yeah, I know." Yeah. And I said, "I'm Glenn Boyle." So yeah. What do you say to Tom Hanks when he introduces himself? So I said, "I'm Boyle," because I wanted that character to be established, in case I got a name check in the scene. And sure enough, the day of filming, we stormed the bunker. I turn on I'm running up with the flamethrower. My lines up the cliff face have been cut. I didn't know that at this point. And then he goes, "Doyle, flame now," or something like that. And it just, I had that moment of, damn, he got it wrong. And then we burned the Nazis.
Okay. Now,
so that's my Boyle Doyle story.
Do you remember what your lines were when you were climbing up the side of the mountain?
Yeah. Yeah. So we're cowering on the bluff. And Hank says to me something like, Jesus, how'd you get that thing up here? Meaning the flamethrower on my back. And I say, "Not by selection, sir. I can't get the damn thing off." And I sort of pull at my, the harness as if I want to shed this walking bomb on my back, And then there was another scene shot, was meant to be D-Day plus one, I believe, or plus two. And it's in the scene where we're all sitting around sort of smoking and joking after the dust has settled. And I don't remember when it cuts away to Hanks, but how did they shoot it now? I had to go up to him and say, "Sir, battalion CEO wants you on the beach in a hurry, sir." And that was basically, and he stands up and says, "Well, it looks like somebody won the war." And then he goes down to the beach and gets the mission to find Private Ryan. Yeah, and that was cut as well. But you got to understand it. I mean, I was hurt. I told my parents, you got to watch this movie because it came out in America first. I got a little part in this movie. And I remember my parents calling me in the UK and saying, Glenn, we saw my mother particularly. We saw you in the movie. We saw your name in the credits, but I didn't quite see you in the film. So 3 weeks in Ireland, but still an incredible experience, being on that set and working with the guys I worked with, gotten to, get to meet the best in the business, Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks. It was great. But that's, yeah, those are the lines that never made it off the cutting room
All
floor.
right. Interesting. Interesting. But so let's back up a little bit. Do you remember the casting process and things like that? I know it's been a while. I know
You
it's
gotta
been.
understand that you go on a lot of kids.
No, but did you
I
meet
think it
Tom
was at a
Hanks?
place called the
Did
Green.
you meet Tom Hanks in the casting process? Because I know, like, for instance,
Not in the casting
because
process,
I
no.
know, like, in Band of Brothers, everyone met. They read for Tom, along the way there.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it was pretty much, there were about 8 to 10 of us that were English American guys living in England, about the same age, military age, conscription age. And I don't know how many they saw in the days that they ran the castings, but there were about 10 of us that got jobs and went over to Ireland. But it was just in a place called the Green Room. It used to be a casting suite that they use quite often in the West End of London. And I think I read with the casting director. But I was probably encouraged by my agent to mention that I'd been in the Marine Corps because that,
Well,
maybe the idea that I'd been in the military would have given me some advantage,
they let you
pardon me?
carry the
Yeah, I got the Clara Carey flame. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Wait, so were
Yeah.
you part of the group with Corey Johnson?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that's correct.
I
Corey
right. So
Johnson,
when
Martin
yeah,
McDougal.
okay. No, so I spoke with Corey a year and a half ago about his work there
Oh,
also.
cool.
So he said that you guys. Well, I don't know if you were with him for the time that he was there, but he said that you guys went in and like every night you went out and had all these like steak dinners and they like treated you really well.
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah, they did. Yes, that's absolutely right. We stayed in a little hotel in a place called Rosslare Harbor, which was about half an hour drive from the beach in Wexford where we shot. And we ate like kings. We had per diem, so they give you spend money, right, on a daily basis. Plus, all the meals were paid for. So we just, yeah, we used to joke we probably ate a cow or two the time we were there because we all ordered steaks every night. Yeah. It was good fun. It was a great experience. We were all young, all starting out in our careers. Yeah, it's pretty good. So mostly, guy named Adam Shaw, who I'm still very good friends with. He, Corey, and Martin are probably the only guys I'm still in touch with. So I couldn't tell you the names of the other guys. They've probably all gone back to the States now. But those guys I still see, in London in castings, on gigs,
Okay, it makes sense. Makes sense. No, because Corey talked about the fact that he did something so well that they wanted to, have him do something else, and then they realized they couldn't because they already killed off his character.
Got his face blown
Yes,
off.
got his face blown off.
Oh,
That's the
I'll
number.
tell you who else, who I'm in touch with as well. Ralph Saxon, does that name ring a bell?
No, sorry.
Okay, so I don't know if you reached out to him. He's back in the States, but he comes over for work every so often, and I think he's in Boston, so I'm still in touch with him as well. He gets killed on the beach as well, but yeah, I'm just thinking of the guys that I
Right. No, I
worked with.
understand that's fine. We're bringing up good memories. That works.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you remember how long you were shooting just for the I mean, were you in many of the scenes even in the background or just mostly there?
I was in Ireland for 3 weeks,
Okay.
and I was on set pretty much every day. But well, I wasn't always on set. I was on location pretty much every day. So we had little trailers set up, And it's sort of, you picture a big sort of Winnebago type trailer for the stars. Well, they make small ones that can be divided into three. So three little comfortable cubicles, little couch, little shower room. Yeah, they were fine. And they would call us onto the beach. I probably spent out of those 3 weeks. I mean, Spielberg's a remarkable guy. You got to understand, this is a guy that he's such so efficient and so good at his job that we didn't shoot on weekends. Saturdays and Sundays we were free, so we'd go off visiting little villages near where we were staying in Ireland. So Monday to Friday, say I was on location 15 days, maybe I was on the beach 8 days, 9 days, running up the just running through the surf, getting behind defilade, behind the prop sort of what would you call it? The defilade, the protection, hiding behind bunkers or walls or and yeah, so it was fun. It was like playing soldier and getting paid quite well. We got paid quite well for that. And one of the things I remember is I was running with Martin McDougall. And he gets behind this structure, those sort of crossed
The X's,
steel
I'm
girder
trying to remember,
structures of
there's a name for it. They're called checked. Oh, I can't remember what they're called right now.
Mr. Google,
That's right. I know it's like a check. I can't remember what they're called. No, I can't remember what they're called. I don't want to waste too much time trying to figure it out.
Okay.
But yeah, there is something there. It is called check something.
Okay. But I mean, they were basically, I guess, put on the beach to prevent the landing craft from coming ashore. But in the film, and I think on the day, a lot of GIs must have used that for cover, to take cover somewhere, because they were so open and exposed to enemy fire.
Yeah, well, I would say it makes
But what
sense.
they did was they,
Check hedgehogs. That's what they're
yeah.
called.
So they
They're
line these
called check
things.
hedgehogs.
Check hedgehog. All right. Okay.
Yeah, and they're
Right. Okay.
anti-vehicle
Cool.
obstacles.
I'll remember.
There you
Yeah.
go.
There you go. But most of them were lined with squibs. You know what a
Yeah,
squib
sure.
is? Yeah. Okay. So most of them were lined with squibs so that when you get behind one, suddenly it would erupt in, fire, right? Gunfire, well, firecrackers, whatever they are, these little squibs. So I look over at Martin and he's behind one. And then all of a sudden, all of these little squibs, bang, 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 bang. And it was a bit, there was no acting required at that point because we had no idea what we were in for, And, the explosions on the beach and it was just really, really cleverly done. So it was a lot of fun,
Right,
man,
I understand that they also have like
Storming up the beach.
springboards, under the sand for people that needed to, go
For the stunt
flying
men, that's
from
correct.
explosions and things like that.
Yeah. They had these sort of funnels into gas, canisters buried, and the funnels were filled with sand, and there must have been some sort of, well, obviously there was some kind of a detonator, and so it was no, obviously no shrapnel, but it would cause an explosion and the sand would blow out of these funnels. So it looked like a mortar round, let's say, tank round. And they had springboards so that the stuntmen, when one of these was activated, they could hit a springboard and go flying through the air and it would look like they got blown off their feet. And on one occasion, we were all sitting up on the bluff, so we weren't in the shot that day. Might have just been extras and stuntmen that day. They had 1,000 extras, I think, at certain points throughout the time we were there. They use the Army National Guard or reservists or something like that. And we saw this stunt. This guy went flying. I mean, it was. So we all looked at each other. We're like, "Wow, that was a. Did you see that? It's amazing." And then they stop everything and medic, and they got to call a medic down because this guy stepped in the wrong place, and just the concussion of that blast shocked him. He was like senseless for a while, short while. So they rush out, they get him and they check him, you know, and it's like down tools and you all right, everybody okay? Okay. Lunch. Just like, all right, I'm moving on. And we got, I thought that was kind of funny. We all thought we all got a laugh out of that. It's like, okay, let's move on. Lunch. So yeah, I mean, there's all that going on.
Right. So you
Go
said
ahead.
that just 2 weeks ago you rewatched the movie again on the 75-inch screen. So do you recognize yourself in places that nobody else would recognize?
I believe I do, you know. I don't know how many guys had flamethrowers that
Well,
day, but I see somebody standing off the beach with
the
a
only other
flamethrower.
one we see is the guy whose flamethrower explodes, and he
Bursts
bursts
into
into
flames,
flames.
yeah.
Exactly.
So that wasn't
No,
me, obviously.
obviously. It could have
Yeah.
been. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Yeah, no. But yeah, so I think like funny you should say that because I'm watching it with my brother probably for the first time, you know. All these years later, watching it really carefully and going saying to my brother, that oh, that's me. That's me. There I go. What? Yeah. Well, you know, it's that sort of thing, you know. And then obviously once we get up top of the bluffs, we go steaming down the trenches. Sorry,
So, I mean, do you know if your character was one that was that they debated whether to send Doyle slash Boyle on the mission also, or you knew from the start that it wasn't if you did a better job they'd say, oh, we're gonna send Glenn along to be one
Nah,
of
man.
the
Nah, I those parts were cast. Those guys, I think they did a type of boot camp. You know, like Giovanni
Yeah,
Ribisi
I'm
and
sure they do. Yeah.
Diesel. Yeah, so those parts were cast, and we were just kind of like glorified extras, really. You know, they were like, well, we can trust these guys with a couple of lines because we know they're American and they are actors, but. You know, for a big production like that, they cast all those
Yeah,
parts way
no.
beforehand on
I was
holiday, you know.
just saying from the perspective that if you impress them so much, they'd be like, okay. We want Doyle. Doyle is gonna keep going with
Yeah,
him.
you'd hope so. You know, the thing is, right? I mean, my agent was like, you know, see who you can talk to and you know, do some schmoozing kind of thing. And first of all, I'm not a very good schmoozer. And second of all, you know, when you're like sitting around and the camera's weaving around and for instance, the day D-Day, I can't remember if it was D-Day plus two or three where Dennis
Dennis,
gives him
Farina.
Farino, gives Tom Hanks the mission, you know. I can't remember how many days later that's meant to be, but so we're sitting around and the cameras, you know, there's four Panavision cameras, shoulder held, just kind of weaving through the crowds. Some of them might have been on Steadicam. You know, you don't want to be that guy that's like, ah, you know, like how do you make yourself more available for the camera without looking like a jerk, you know? So I was happy. I recognized my back in that scene as well. This is not knowing the actual dialogue was cut, you know, where they're going through, just weaving through the guys resting after the big battle. And a lot of them were smoking, you know, I didn't smoke. So, yeah. So that was, I knew what it was. It was a good gig. And the thing is, when we wrapped in Ireland, I came back to the UK, and because I guess they decided that that scene wasn't working, where I say, "Sir, battalion wants you back on the," I don't know if it was battalion CO or I can't remember the exact line. I think it was battalion CO wants you back on the beach in a hurry, sir. The way it was at the time wasn't working, so I came back to the UK, and about 2 weeks later, my agent said, "Oh, they want you back for another week." To go up to Hatfield, which is where they built the French village. And so I was like, hey, ooh, okay, maybe I got something new coming, you know, God, this is great, you know. And And I went up there and I sat in my trailer for a couple, 3 days. And then they sent me home. I got
Okay.
paid.
So hey, why not?
And when I saw the,
I said,
what's
why
that?
not? Why not? This
Yeah,
is
sure, exactly. And when I got back, and I saw, well, no, when I saw the film, that entire scene was changed. So when they were all talking about what Eddie Burns' mother did, she sold lingerie or something like that, and they're trying to get Hanks to say what he did for a living. They shot that in a completely different way. Originally that was shot in a massive foxhole. And I remember this because Tom Sizemore was sitting on a couple of stacked ammo crates, large ammo crates, not little ammo cans, big crates, and he fell off. But that's another story. I can get to that if you want. I don't want to speak ill of the
No.
dead, but he did take a topple. Yeah, they reshot that if you remember in the film. They're all sitting outside. I think it's like a burned out shop, and they're having that conversation about who does what people were doing back in the
Right.
world, So, that's it. I don't know why they rethought that whole scene and revisited it, reshot it, and I wasn't even close to it. Actually, they did bring me on set a couple of times. I didn't sit in my trailer the whole 3 days. That's right. I'm wrong. I've forgotten that. They did bring me on set, but I was sort of on the edge of camera. I wouldn't have been maybe not even in frame. And I think they would just kind of, I think in a show like that, where you've got somebody like Steven Spielberg who wants everything when he wants it, when he needs it, they thought, let's have him in uniform, let's have him there. And if they decide to go the way it's scripted, we got him there. It's not that's it, because he doesn't want to have to go, hey, let's get that Boyle guy back. Where is he? Where's Boyle? Well, we got to get him back from London or something. So they
Right.
wanted me there. But I kind of got the feeling that that scene wasn't going to happen that way. And as I said, it didn't, as we know. So,
Okay.
yeah.
So, the flamethrower, did you have a real flamethrower, or that was special effects?
No, it was special effects. I had a flame at the end, a little, like just a little butane flame about that high, like a massive candle flame. But it was an empty, those tanks were empty. They weren't
Right. Okay.
heavy.
Sometimes they're practical effects, sometimes they're not. You never know. Especially back in 98. So.
It's a while ago. I tried to be clever. I remember I walked up to Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg at one point. They wanted to ask me something. And Tom Hanks said, God, look at that monster, thinking that thing on my back, talking about the tank on my back. And Steven Spielberg said something like, boy, that's got to be heavier, something, just banter. And I thought I'd be, I was trying to quip back. So I said, yeah, but I can handle it. And they looked at me like, what? They didn't get the joke. Yeah, I felt like, oops, probably shouldn't have said it that way. I probably should have said, yes, sir. It's a little awkward, but it's not very heavy, sir.
Then they said, okay, let's get back at him and make
That
him sit in his
was
trailer for
funny.
3 days.
Yeah, wise guy.
Sorry. All right. Any other anecdote stories about the things that happened in Saving Private Ryan, while you were doing Saving Private Ryan?
Yeah, well, I mean, that day when Sizemore fell off the Tom Sizemore, but well, there's a few stories. I mean, he's a character. He wasn't a real character, and he fell off these ammo crates, and he landed on a makeup woman, and so she went flat, because he's a big guy, and he probably fell. I don't know. It was a bit of a dirt mound, and then two ammo crates. So, I guess he came from about 4 foot. And so they cleared it all up, and when he stood up, he was like, he did this like, what happened there? It looked kind of forced, like he was a bit embarrassed, but he wanted to make it like he was hurt, or I don't know. And so anyway, they all went, and then Steven Spielberg said, Do you know when I was working on? I think it was 1942. Was
1941.
that the
1941.
planes? For He said when I was working on 41, John Goodwin fell off a wing of a plane and landed on a makeup artist as well. And somebody said, "Boy, that's a coincidence." And Tom Hanks said, "So what are you saying? Like every war film you do, a fat guy falls on top of a makeup artist?" I wasn't sure if I should laugh because I was, I was a bit in the lower ranks, but it was pretty funny.
Yeah. Oh,
But yeah, he was a character. He used to, Vin Diesel and I worked out, would work out a few times. So I actually used to sneak into Tom Hanks's trailer. He had a, so Tom Hanks, Steven Spielberg, the producers, they had sort of a fenced off area with their massive trailers, and one of them was a gym trailer and nobody ever used it. So Vin Diesel and I snuck in there a few times and worked
oh,
out. And then, so one day I'm standing outside, I'm standing in the door of my trailer, just it's really beautiful weather we had in Ireland. And Sizemore goes, "You guns, get down here." And yeah, I was young, I was pretty fit, so guns, I guess he was referring to my arms. So I came down and he goes, "We're gonna do some push-ups." And I was like, "Yeah, great, man, let's do it." So Vin Diesel's very fit, was very fit then. So we're banging out, I guess sets of 20, I don't know. You know, on those bars that kind of raise you off the ground a bit, so you go that much deeper when you do your push-up. They're sort of like these with handles on them. So we're banging out sets, and then it's Sizemore's turn, and this is no word of a lie. So he drops down and he goes, "One, two, four, seven." He starts like jumping numbers, and I mean, it's as obvious as a dog's bollocks, but we just, me and Medina just look at each other, smile, like, okay, Tom. That was kind of funny.
Oh,
And, yeah, that's it. I mean, it was just a great time. Tom Hanks with his family when they would, because they had these chow tents set up, very much like being in the military, but a lot better
probably.
food. And Hanks would get online with his, yeah, you can imagine, his whole family, and they would just, they'd just barge in front of the line, and he'd go, "Sorry, guys, sorry, guys." We'd be like, no, go ahead. It was just funny how the, but it wasn't rude. It was just sort of, yeah, just fun, It was, it's good times, good memories.
All right. So you mentioned to me that you also read for Band of Brothers.
Well, no, I got to correct that. I tried to be
Ah,
seen
okay.
for it.
Sorry.
I forget the casting director's name that was
Meg
doing it, but because I was in
Meg
Ryan.
I can't remember her last name right now.
No, it was a guy with a
Oh, no,
real.
so I don't know who the
I guess he was casting the smaller roles over here. Well, I can't remember his name. I don't even know if he's still working as a casting director. It may come to me. But anyway, so I sent him a few letters. I'm sure my agent submitted me. I sent him a few letters. Couldn't get seen for it, which I was pretty resentful about. And
Which
number one.
I'm surprised about because
After
you'd
that,
think that they would want American actors, for those roles.
yeah, I mean, and it was a series, so it can, so many parts, so many of the parts. Anyway, it was a mystery to me, and I didn't get seen. But after that, they did a, now I don't know if Dale Dye worked on Band of
He
Brothers,
did, he did, he
probably,
did.
yeah.
He ran the
Yeah.
he did a boot camp for them and everything. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. So, after that, they made a pilot of a show called Sam's Circus. And that was going to be another series, another Second World War series. They shot the pilot here. I forget what the budget was, but it was enormous. It had a
Oh,
huge
wow.
budget. And again, they used all the leftover stuff because it was like they shot Ryan. They had all these uniforms, all this equipment. So they just shifted it over to Band of Brothers, and they used it all on Band of Brothers, right? So it makes sense. And then they were going to do this thing called Sam's Circus. And I was in the first episode. I got cast in the pilot episode with one of the guys that was in Band of
Richard Sprite.
Brothers. And what the heck
Richard Sprite.
was in Sam
Yeah,
Circus as well as
he
Band of
played
Brothers?
Bedpan in Sam Circus. He played
That was my
Bedpan,
guy.
and in the in Band of Brothers, he played Muck. Skip Muck.
No, somebody else.
Somebody else.
There's another actor, English. He's living in LA now. What the
Could be
heck was
Rick
his name?
Pascalone.
No. I wonder if I could find it on my phone. Oh, what was his name? Anyway, it might come to me. But we worked together on this pilot episode of Sam Circus, and it never got made. They never made a series out of it, so.
Right. Hey, this is Rob from the future. So Glenn figured it out eventually. He actually was in it with Ross McCall, who I interviewed at the end of Band of Brothers just 2 weeks ago. So, very interesting coincidence in a very small world.
I mean, it wouldn't have affected me anyway because I'm in a sort of deuce and a half, a large troop carrier truck, and we drive onto a
Oh,
water
okay.
mine.
But did they see you die? Maybe you somehow got out before.
No, I don't think they saw me die. Yeah, possible. Yeah, that's what I'd like
They bring
to
Glenn back. They said, "Yeah, he didn't. He wasn't in there. He went to go get lunch."
So that's my Band of Brothers story, my connection with Sam Circus. But I don't know why they never made it as a series. But Dale Dye was on that as well, and I actually met him in London while he was shooting that. We went out for drinks with this guy whose name escapes me.
One of the other guys,
And
or one of
probably.
the other actors?
One of the actors who was also in
Right. I
Band of
mean,
Brothers. When I think of it, I'll
on
text it.
IMDb, the names that are here are Tyler Christopher, Daniel Brocklebank, Kevin Connolly, Raffaello Di Gratola, Michael Grade.
Raff Degretola was in Sam Circus.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about Sam Circus.
Raff
I'm going
Degretola.
through the list of people in Sam Circus.
I didn't know that. I know Raff very well. I didn't know because he was on Saving Private Ryan as well.
Okay.
Who else was
Okay,
in Sam
Michael
Circus?
Gray's, John Hawks, Quarry Marshall, Rick Pascalone, Russell Sams, Richard Speight, Gary Bunn, and John Whitby. Those are the people that are listed here on IMDb.
On
Yeah,
IMDb.
you're not listed there, so you need
No.
to go add yourself.
No. Yeah, I need to upgrade it.
I mean, you have a lot of IMDb credit, so that's also very impressive. I mean, I see that most of it is voiceover work, but hey, you
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
well,
my job.
you're Thomas the Tank,
Yeah, I worked on Thomas for years. Yeah. I mean, I still do a lot of games. I mean, that's the big thing now if you're going to get credits, they tend to go right onto IMDb when you work on a game. I guess 75% of
Okay,
them,
why not?
I don't know who puts that stuff on,
Why not?
but it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it. You don't have to, it's much less intrusive in your life just going and doing a
That's true.
voiceover than working on a project for, for
That's
weeks,
very true.
Yeah, I mean, if I get acting work, I get it. I read for, I don't know, four or five things a month, and it's a numbers game. And then it's got to fit into your life because, I mean, I'm not a player, so generally, if something gets they want to cast me in something, I got to be available the dates
Yeah, of
that they
course.
want me. And if I'm not, they'll
Right.
cast somebody else, And this happened very recently. I was just in the States and I was offered a role in a Netflix thing and about Kennedy, old man Kennedy, and I couldn't do it, because I was in the States. So it's just the way
Right.
it goes, But fortunately, I got enough VO to keep me ticking over, and I got a pretty good agent, so he's trying to get me jobs. He's trying to get me jobs, trying to get me work.
Good, good. That's the way it should be.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he makes money.
Yeah, that's true. Awesome. So thanks for taking the time
Rob,
to talk to me. I do appreciate it.
it's been a pleasure, man. You're really, real pleasure. Thanks.
Yeah, this is great.
In my solitude, you.